Good afternoon, and once again, welcome to the Good, the Bad, and the Reality. We're brought to you by the D-Unity Group and 8A The Easy Way, your fast track to government contracting and federal and state and local certifications. I'm Roger Vaughn, and I'm joined by my co-host, Stacy.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Actually, I love the great sunny weather. I wish it would stay.
Yeah, yesterday was rather gloomy.
It was very dreary.
Was it yesterday or day before?
No, it was yesterday. Yeah.
It's been a tough week. I mean, last time we were on air, I mean, you know, things, wow. Considering, you know, this is the holiday season and we had everything happen up in Connecticut and whatnot. But
and then we have a fiscal cliff that we can't decide what we're going to do.
Yeah, to say the least. And we'll get into that in here shortly with our guest as well. But that being said, each week we do talk about what makes business ownership so rewarding as it relates to the challenges of running a small business and ultimately why you choose to do what you do. So today in the audience, we have two lovely young ladies here.
You're surrounded by girls today.
I enjoy that. I really love that. You know, I mean, a lot of guys be like, oh, okay. I love it. So, you know, God bless you all.
Yeah, we're here for you.
So we have in our audience today, Ms. Sabrina Tika. She's the founder of the Tika Group, LLC. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
And then we have Ms. Kelly McBride with Global Defense Consulting. So how are you today, Kelly?
Good, Stacy. How are you?
Good. Well, thank you both for coming.
Okay. Well,
thank you for having us.
Well, good. And I hearken to say, just before we came on air, we asked if you guys have all your Christmas shopping done, and we got a resounding no from Kelly. And so what about you?
I'm about 80% done.
80%.
Well, you got 12 days, right?
No. By the time I get back to New Jersey, it's going to be just a couple of days.
So yeah.
I don't get back until Friday evening.
So. Wow.
Oh, okay. Well, that being said, safe travels when you go and whatnot.
Thank you.
So that being said also, so Tika, tell us a little bit about your company and what do you do?
So this is my second business.
Okay.
Wow.
And I am phasing out of the first one. My background is actually in computer science, and I worked for many years with CSX. And after my son was born, I realized that both my husband and I were in the IT field, which is very, very demanding. Mm. And nobody was sort of taking care of the kids. So interior design being a love of mine, I decided, well, I will phase out of IT and go into interior design. So I did that. And still, you know, I still think like an IT person, even though the other side was a little bit more creative. And about 5 years ago, I realized that I knew quite a lot about interior design, but nothing about growing a business, and decided to actually go on this quest to learn about a business. How do I grow a business? And realized that I was being told things in piecemeal. I wasn't being shown a blueprint, so to speak. You know, I have to do marketing, I have to do sales, I have to do list building and all these kinds of things. And so I was like, okay, I need to draw this out. You know,
the visual part.
I have to have this visual. I need to know where I'm going and how I'm going to get there. What are the milestones, blah, blah. So I started doing that. And I thought, how many small businesses know this? Because, you know, they're confused, they're overwhelmed, they're running after shiny objects, and if you do it this way...
Squirrel, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, bringing... When you're building a house, if you look at it that way, you would never build a house without a blueprint.
That's a great analogy. I like that.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I started doing, and that's why I formed the Tika Group, because I thought I could be much more effective and help a lot more people if I can actually just show them those basic building blocks before they started running off and doing marketing and sales and not even being very clear about who their client is.
So you're kind of using the right brain, left brain.
Yes.
That everybody goes, how do I manage that? So you said that you spent some years consulting. So are you using some of that experience from consulting?
Yes, definitely. I'm very, very detail oriented. And so I know how to run projects and manage multiple projects and multiple clients. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's been very helpful to manage different small projects in terms of the businesses, manage different small, you know.
Yeah, I know you mentioned something to the form of, you know, from what I gather, having a business model as a small business, and that's very important. Why is that important?
Yeah, well, the reason why the business, a lot of people define a business model in many different ways. And so my definition, which actually comes from the master in business model generation, Alexander Osterwalder, and he has 9 components that make up the business model. Mm. So there are things like value proposition, who's your client, how do you build a relationship with your client, how do you get your value to your client, how do you monetize, so what's your revenue, how do you make money. And the opposite side of that is what is it going to cost you to make the money? So how do you create your value? What resources you need, and what's that going to cost? And does that all make sense? So many people skip a few of those pieces. They define who their client is, but not in the detail that they need to. So sometimes they're marketing to somebody and their message is not very clear.
Right.
So that's the business model that I use to help people and small businesses really get very clear about what the value is. Because a lot of times I feel like businesses create the value and then find the customer instead of trying to figure out, now I have these skills, where are the pain points that I can use those skills to help the small business, you know, grow their, you know, their value to their people as well.
So part of what you're doing is trying to find the client's why they want to be in
exactly.
business.
Exactly. And their pain, their biggest pain and frustration.
Well, to that point, what has been your pain?
My pain is really finding, just being, finding the way to really let them understand how valuable this is. And I feel that if I relate it back to a house, to building a house, to you can't start building rooms without having a foundation.
Absolutely.
So that's, you know, that seems to be the visual that everybody gets.
Yeah. So who is like your ideal client? Are they in business? Have they just started, or empty nesters, or like we have people who have been professionals for 25 years and now they want to transition to a different life?
Right. So a couple, I have multiple segments of my of clients. So it's the startup that's really, they have an idea, but they don't know how to fine tune and crystallize that idea and how to go about really starting it. So it's the startups. And then there are people that have hit a ceiling and they're not sure how to get past that, or they want to reinvent themselves because business has changed. The way people market today has changed so much.
Right.
So it's, you know, that sort of business too. They really want to reinvent themselves or realize they need to do something different, but they're not sure what that is.
So with your technology background, what have you been giving some tools to them in that technology aspect too?
Yes, we use the Business Canvas is a visual tool. I love to use visual thinking tools because I feel a picture is worth, you know, 1,000 words.
I'm a visual, I think everybody is somewhere a little bit of a visual learner at some point,
So I use lots of charts, lots of flow charts so they can actually see the process.
Okay.
And they're, you know, I love the iPad. It's like
your best friend.
Oh, my best friend. And I have so I try to help them realize the value of certain little things that they can use with technology.
Actually, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about iPad versus Microsoft, and you know, depending on your business, you know, which platform do you use, Apple wise, that kind of thing. it's always a struggle as a small business because technology changes so quickly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'm strictly a PC type person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard for me to get out of that mode. I mean, I know Apple puts out great products, and I'm not saying anything bad about them at all. It's just that it's just like anyone else. Sometimes you get in that mode, then you don't want to change.
Right. Yeah, change is hard.
It is.
Change is very hard, especially when technology
is moving so fast.
Yeah, and apps. I mean, like you can buy an app for almost anything. I was seeing today on TV. I was like, crazy. Yeah.
Speaking of change, let me ask you this. If you run across someone who's been in the corporate world, mm-hmm. As Stacey alluded to earlier, 15, 20 years, whatever the case may be, and they want to make that change, just in short, how do you go about approaching a person like that and then guiding them through that process?
So a person in the corporate world, a lot of times they want to sort of just get out of it and not have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
But
been there.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so I want to do something else. And what is that something else? But what I try to help them realize is that they have skills
right.
that they can reinvent themselves and help somebody else using those same skills.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to find what those skills are. What is it within that skill set that they really enjoy? Because there may be some things that they don't enjoy and they don't want to continue doing that. So we find what those things are that they really enjoy, and then we try to find, okay, who needs that the most?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So then we can go and find, there are certain clients, there are certain people that really, really need this particular skill so that you can help them and sort of fine-tune it from there.
We call that the kitchen table idea, I think.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah.
Or what they call it, a lemonade stand?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you help somebody who has a hobby to create that to be a business? You know, like I know there's a lot of people right now, Christmas is a big deal. And so they make these specialized candy or cookies or whatever. And
right.
if they're in how to make it so it's not that hobby, something viable.
Right. Right. So if somebody has a hobby that, maybe they've been actually selling to their friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that they need to sit back and see what is it that they're doing. Because a lot of times it's not just about making the basket of whatever mm-hmm. for somebody. It's helping them. The value that they bring to that person is that if that person doesn't have time
mm-hmm.
and it's so valuable to them to have something already there. Because then they don't have to think about it. So instead of really selling your product and really marketing just your product, you also have to let them know what value you're saving them time, you're saving them money,
mm-hmm.
you're saving them the heartache of stressing out and thinking, how do I figure out what to get for person A, B, or C?
Right.
So you're really helping them in much more than just getting a basket for them. So they just need to start communicating more than just the features. They have to communicate the benefits of you using their services.
So you do like a training course with each person, or do you do it in a group session?
I do both.
Okay.
I do both. I do right now. I have a class coming up in the middle of January.
Okay.
With really helping business, just 5 to 7 people
mm-hmm.
around a boardroom style session
right.
to really come up with their goals for 2013,
mm-hmm.
but being very strategic about them in terms of, I want to have a product created by mm-hmm. a certain date
right.
and let's re-engineer the process. Because that's kind of how we do it in computer science. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
let's
re-engineer. Like, what are the milestones? When do I need to have them done by?
Right.
And also, a lot of marketing today is very education-based.
Yes.
So
yes.
Let's be very strategic about if we are going to implement and launch a product in 3 months, all the marketing and all the freebies and the information that we're providing, let's build up to what that launch is going to be about. So now you want more. So
right.
you're building your, drip this information a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And here, you know, here's some more information. We've given you all this value, but you can go deeper with this product.
So I saw something about your notes about action plans. So do you do like a, we joke about the one-page business plan here, but an action plan, is that something that you strategically work with them individually?
Yes. So after we've created what we want to achieve, like, you know, we want to build our list, or we want to do some speaking engagements, or we want to launch a product, we actually go back and re-engineer that whole thing and figure out what are the milestones and what do I need to do. So do I need to do a blog post? Do I need to do create a podcast, whatever, and put it on the calendar?
Okay. Awesome.
So actually put it on the calendar. So it's not just bullet points on some sheet that gets lost somewhere.
Right.
And one of the other things that I absolutely love with the Apple products is the reminder.
Yeah.
You know, and so I use the reminder a lot.
Yeah, yes. You would have to, because you run more your clients on a project base.
Correct.
Than just a typical coaches that we know out there, trainers, that kind of stuff.
I want them to get some results.
Oh, yeah,
so
I agree.
I'm, you know, like, let's go, people. I'm not just here saying, okay, what do you think?
So
I
you're
really
there,
want them to be, I'm their project manager. Right. I want to get them done.
Everything you were saying earlier with the milestones and all that stuff is assistant. It sounds like project management 101.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Our language, Roger and I appreciate that, because some of the clients don't understand project management versus having a coach that's standing on the sideline going, go, go, go.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of looking at you like, what do you mean, go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I want them to get results, because that I'm doing that as well.
Right.
You know, I'm building my business as well. So
right.
I'm right there along with them. And I want it to be for them to feel like they have some they have somebody else they can talk to about some of the struggles and some of the things that are not working, and, you know, brainstorm. So by having these small board meeting type of training sessions, everybody else can help to give a different perspective on somebody else's problem.
So what is your ultimate goal for 2013?
My ultimate goal for 2013 is actually to, first of all, you know, grow the business.
Right.
And I do have, my goal is to run one board meeting type of training session every 2 months, so that we're always ahead of the game, and grow my list, because some of this will be on the internet.
Right.
So growing my list by doing speaking engagements and teleclasses, and actually grow my my revenues as well.
Okay, great.
Well, good. I have one last question for you, and it's kind of a two-part question, because as a husband and wife team, a lot, we get this question a lot, is how do you do it? You know, and because, you know, it's in some aspects, it's very difficult to separate the business from the personal aspect of it. So have you, the first part of the question is, have you run across businesses like that, and do you, you know, and how do you deal with that? And also, do you recommend, you know, especially startup businesses, getting the family involved?
Yes. So I personally feel you should design your life, and then your business should be around, you know, support that. Because if you just want to work 25 hours a week, you should figure out a business that supports 25 hours a week. So I firmly believe that you should design your life, so to speak, then design your business around that. And whenever possible, you get the family involved. Like, I get my kids involved with helping me do some, you know, some things I don't know how to do.
Right.
My son or my daughter knows how to do that, so I get them involved. The other thing that's a little bit challenging right now for me is, because I still have an interior design business and a couple of clients, is, you know, growing one and phasing out of the other.
Yeah.
So, but the nice thing is that the new business, part of growing a business too, is your environment.
Right.
Even absolutely. It's very, very subconscious, but, you know, that also, I also, you know, give them free advice on that.
Right.
So,
right.
Getting the whole family involved, but I think really understanding what your life values are, and really you know, working your business around that. I know sometimes it's not very easy to do, but being aware of it helps you plan it a little bit better.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you can help them figure that out. So, Sabrina, how can someone get in contact with you if they need your services?
So you can find me on social media. I have a Facebook page that's Sabrina Tika. I have the Tika Group and the TikaGroup.com. And I have a phone number, too, in case you, it's, should I give that?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's 732-718-5994. And TikaGroup@gmail.com.
Okay. And it's Tika spelled T-E-E.
T-E-E-K-A-H.
Okay. So our other guest that we have here, Roger, is Kelly McBride with Global Defense Consulting. And she has a great background in accounting. So, Kelly, welcome. Thanks for coming. I know you're a busy lady. So tell us what you do. Tell the people out there.
Okay. Well, we are a financial services and business advisory group specializing in accounting and management consulting, primarily for businesses that have contracts with the federal and state agencies.
Great. And so you've been here in Atlanta for a while, so we can call you a native, right?
I think I qualify,
yeah.
Actually.
Because nobody's ever from Atlanta.
Well, I call it home. So.
Yeah, definitely. So explain to people what DCAA, because I know some people are like, what is that acronym and why do I really need to know about it?
Well, a lot of people think the D stands for dreaded, and it can. but
yeah.
Well, in a nutshell, DCAA is the Defense Contract Audit Agency, and they, you know, really operate kind of like the CPA firm for, you know, the federal, you know, government, different agencies, mm-hmm. and they'll come in and, you know, review your proposals, review your accounting systems, review other business systems for internal controls at the request of a contracting officer, you know, someone who's interested in potentially awarding you a contract, just to make sure that you are a sound business, you have sound business practices, and you can effectively administer the contract that they might just award you.
So why did you get into your industry? I'm sure people are asking you all the time. Because I know
yeah,
they ask us.
I'm looking at it like, why?
No. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'd like to say it was part of the strategic master plan. But anyway, so my background, my husband, Aaron, put me through college. I have a degree in accounting.
Okay.
And he did that while he served in the United States Marine Corps. So Semper Fi, everyone.
Yeah.
Hurrah.
Yeah. And so from there, I went into public accounting, and we were living in New Orleans at the time. And after, you know, a couple years, we decided to move to Atlanta, and I took a position here with an engineering services firm, so I was their controller.
Mm.
So I knew, yeah, I was kind of proud of myself. I'm a CPA. I knew a lot about accounting, but when I got there, there were quite a few things that I had never seen before, you know, never seen in any of the commercial clients that I dealt with at KPMG. And after a couple of months, the gentleman that hired me left the company, and these really nice people from DCAA and DCMA came out.
And wow. Talk about getting your feet wet right Hello. Away. Wow.
Yeah, something's like diving headfirst in the
yeah,
ocean.
Yeah.
So anyway, learned quite a bit about some things that needed to have been taken care of, some things that had been left sort of on the table from, you know, my predecessor. Mm. And anyway, they have a lot of ramifications. If you're not following the rules, you're not following up on any audit issues that had been raised before. So it can interfere with, you know, your company's ability to actually bill the federal government and get paid. So, needless to say, I never learned anything so fast in my life.
Yeah.
They were probably telling you, get out now.
Well, to their credit, they're government agencies, but they're people too.
Yeah,
and there were some really good people. And I had explained our situation. I'd been with the company for 3 months. Our new CFO, he had been there for 2 weeks. And surprise. And so we didn't have a government contracting background, but I told them to, you know, please give me the list of the open items. I would develop a project plan and a timeline and communicate with them regularly until we had all of the issues addressed. And they worked with us. We were about a mid-sized business, but still, they understood the situation. So they did work with us, work through the issues. And quite honestly, a couple of the auditors gave some good guidance at the time. They're not really allowed to do that anymore, but at the time, they did. And so it was kind of a niche. You know, I stuck with it went on to other positions as chief financial officer. After a number of years, realized that I really liked to fix things. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. I really like to think fix things that are broken.
I mean, yeah.
You know, accounting is an interesting degree. It seems like it's a little dry at times, but what I found is, you know, I could apply that knowledge, apply my audit background. Mm-hmm. And once I, you know, got into management, working with growing companies and challenges that they've had with DCAA, I started fixing a lot of things. I started implementing, you know, accounting systems, implementing policies and procedures, building departments and internal controls. And that was fun. That was exciting. It was dynamic. It wasn't just sitting there crunching numbers all day. So it was very, very interesting. And a friend of mine said, you know, you might want to consider consulting because you're really doing that from the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was true that the types of companies, situations, positions that I was interested in something that was broken, something that was changing. So I took a position here in Atlanta with a regional CPA firm and ran their government contract consulting practice for a couple of years and ventured out on my own in 2008 and formed Global Defense. And we've been going like gangbusters ever since. Yeah.
Yahoo. Yeah.
So you like helping people, basically.
I do. It's really rewarding. And, you know, probably the best example that I can give you is, you know, not a lot of accountants are people, mm. You know?
Kind of like engineers, right?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So that might be the nicest way I can say it. But, but you know, so I was more of a people person. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I was all excited when I first, you know, went to work at KPMG. And, you know, it didn't even dawn on me. It's like nobody's happy to see the auditor show up.
Wow, and, yes, you exactly. Know, so, yeah. Kind of like the IRS or the... Yeah.
You don't see them inviting them. It's, come on in. Yeah. You know, we'll have some food and drink and stuff for you, and we'll just have a good old time.
So you talked about compliance. What's kind of the top three compliance issues that you've seen in your years of number crunching? And
well, it's really understanding the regulations. I mean, this is cost accounting. Mm-hmm. A lot of the rules that govern government contracting, it's some of the, you know, easier types of accounting. It's cost accounting. Mm-hmm. And it's how you classify the cost and what you can charge the government for. So the actual debits and credits, that part isn't hard. Mm-hmm. What's different is real specific to this industry on what the government will allow you to pass through, charge to the contract, how you can apply it to your contract and other things. So that's what's different. And so really understanding what they're talking about, because mm-hmm. the language can be a little thick when you, you know, read the federal acquisition regulations.
Right.
Yeah, we can fill
boy,
up this
don't
room.
I, don't we know?
Yeah, we know that one. We always tell people you want a good sleeping bed reading, that would be it, right? Yeah. The FARS.
Well, unless you're sort of a nerd like me.
Yeah.
I find it interesting, but also internal controls. And so, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people get nervous about this kind of accounting because it is so different, but... When you look at it, it's cost classification, so you can kind of break it down a little bit in its simpler form. And then when you get into internal controls, it's really no different than what any other sound business would do. It's making sure that you have the checks and balances. You know, something comes in. Is it approved? Does it, you know, is it validated? Does somebody check it against the contract? And so it may have some nuances and specifics for this industry, but from, you know, a conceptual standpoint, it's really nothing that you wouldn't expect to do in any other business from a sound business practice standpoint.
Well, you know, I always, even in our line of work with helping small businesses maneuver through that government market, so to speak, is I tell them, you know, it's all about building that relationship with your customer, and think of it from a standpoint of, you know, the other shoe on the foot type of thing. if you have a multi-million-dollar contract as a customer, and you have these vendors or a vendor that you quote unquote trust to do that, you know, wouldn't you want to understand where your money is going? I think we all do. Mm-hmm. And so I really kind of chuckle when I see, you know, small and large businesses, you know, they get so impatient with things. And so I don't know why they're asking me this, you know, and, you know, it's just like anything else. And then to that point, what makes your firm any different than, say, any other firm?
Well, we specialize in this industry, so it really is a niche. And we are accountants, CPAs, management consultants, but we've all come from this industry. And it's very different. The rules are very different. In the commercial world, you know, you don't have a requirement to fill your timesheet out every day.
Right.
And, you know, if you want to take somebody, you know, out for, entertainment or have a glass of wine, you know, with dinner, it's not an issue to run your expense report, you know, through with alcoholic beverages. But in the world of the government, you have to isolate that charge.
Absolutely.
And you can't
Absolutely.
Pass it through. So it's very specific rules. We understand those rules. We've lived those situations. I have been in the shoes of the people that we help. I've been, you know, a CFO longer than I've been a consultant. And actually, as part of our services, we offer outsourced CFO services. So I'm still a CFO as well
okay.
as a consultant.
That was so my next question.
So you diversify yourself a little bit there, huh?
Yeah. But it's, it keeps it interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So you were talking about other services like CFO. What are the things that we always tell businesses? You better have a good CPA, good attorney, good business practices to get your business going. As a CPA, what are the key things that you're noticing that they're not, you know, when they were looking at that government contract world?
Well, it's important to understand that not any CPA can help you with this business. There are, you know, no classes that you take in a standard accounting degree that show you this kind of thing. And a lot of people will go to their, you know, tax CPA first or their CPA firm and say, you know, can you help me with this? And most of the time they say no and then refer them to a consulting firm because the everyday CPAs don't deal with these types of rules and regulations.
Right.
So, yes, as far as what you need to do to get into business, you have a good tax CPA, but also have a good consultant or accountant that specializes in this industry so you can navigate the rules and make sure you bid correctly and price out your work and cover your costs.
Yeah, that was my next question about pricing.
All right.
Because, you know, we've seen it. They could think, oh, I'll do low bid and I'll win that contract. But tell us what's not the value of that situation.
Well, you can run yourself right out of business.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of, you know, different criteria to winning a government contract. But for a business owner, and especially a small business owner, a lot of times what we'll see is you know, the pricing, you know, based on, you know, sort of a swag, if you will. You know, this is what I think I need to, you know, price it at in order to win it. But it might not be enough to cover your cost. Many times we'll go in and help small businesses they're really good at what they do. They're really good at their craft, but they don't know how they're making their money or if they're making money, because a lot of times folks will start out on a cash basis, just not really paying attention to their financials. And so they don't have the indirect rates isolated and the direct costs isolated so that they can really see, all right, what does it cost me to run this business and how should I be pricing it? You may see a net profit, for example, on the bottom line, but you may have some contracts where you're, you know, losing a lot of money, some contracts where you're making a lot of money. So you don't even have insight into what's the right strategy, you know, to bid future work. And it will eventually catch up with you.
Yeah. Especially if, you know, I know if, you know, I've seen, you know, small businesses have contracts that are, you know, maybe thousands of miles away, and now they have two areas that they have to run, and not understanding that, you know, this state may be different in taxes than the state that you're residing in, and the Department of Labor type of rates, you know, for that particular specialty and whatnot. That being said, you said that the DCAA is primarily federal. Who audits for state and local contracts, or if there's such a thing?
Usually they have their own. Okay. And in some cases, you know, a lot of state agencies will actually outsource that to, you know, consulting firms or CPA firms on their behalf.
Okay.
So, like
Global Defense Consulting?
No, we represent the contractors.
Okay. You represent the good guys. Yeah. Got it. All right.
So make sure the contractors are sound, right?
Yeah, we like to help you before you're audited. Yeah. But if you've already been audited, we'll help you pick up the pieces and put it back together. But that's usually, you know, that's an unfortunate situation because what a lot of people don't know is that it's typically the contract type that triggers the audit. And so you may be out there, you know, bidding on contracts and not realizing that something you're going after is subject to audit. And it's unfortunate, and it's an unfortunate surprise when you get a call or you get a notice saying, hey, we're going to come out and take a look at things, and then you're scrambling. And a lot of these things, like I said before, it's methods of accounting, policies and procedures, internal controls, and you're not going to put all that together in a week.
No. Not even a month, I don't think. Sometimes it takes a lot longer.
You were talking about you kind of diversified and you can get a CFO through your company, but do you do training courses, that kind of stuff, seminars, workshops?
All the time, actually.
Oh, awesome.
We actually offer a free seminar series, and we hold those about every 6 weeks.
Okay.
You can find the calendar and the schedule on Atlanta GovCon. And we do that in conjunction with other firms. When I moved here in the late 90s and I was first figuring out what all this meant, I searched high and low and contacted every resource I could think of, and I went to training classes, and I taught myself, and over the years, I've built relationships with other firms that, you know, offer services in this industry, you know, lawyers and other business advisors and insurance brokers, bankers, and so that way we can add value back to our clients. Hey, I need help, you know, who do you know that can help me with this? Who do you know can help me with that? So we do joint sessions with those other companies, and we speak on topics for the government contracting industry, compliant accounting and business systems. That was the last one we held over at the Cobb Chamber of Commerce. Contract types, joint ventures and subcontract agreements. We offer, you know, real specifics on how to, you know, pass a DCAA or other government audit, how to prepare for those types of things. So it's, you know, it's pretty well-rounded, and even going into bid and proposal, you know, insights. So it's just a little something we can give back to our existing clients and, you know, give back to the community and help small businesses.
Wow. And it's free. For all you
did
listeners
I mention
out
that?
There, it's
yeah, it
free.
Is free.
You know, free is good. Free is good.
And a little networking. I have actually gone to a couple of those events, and I appreciate that you're sharing that information. So for both of you ladies, my question for 2013, what would be like the top three things that small businesses need to really focus on? You know, if you had a big room of small business owners and you could give them three key things they need to really focus on for 2013, what would that be, Kelly?
Well, I would start out with a plan. I mean, you know, focus on, you know, what you do best. And, you know, a lot of times what we'll see is, you know, you might have, you know, folks in your business that have a lot of different capabilities.
Right.
But you could be all over the map. Mm. And in this industry, at least for government contracting, you know, it's also important to know where the funds are. So
yes.
Do your research, come up with your plan so you're just not flapping in the wind.
Right. What about you, Sabrina?
So what Kelly said is very important.
Right.
You have to have a plan. Otherwise, if you don't know what your target is, you're going to miss it every time.
Right.
So that's really important. And the other thing with the people that, you know, I'm servicing is really to take action. Have that plan, have those milestones, and take action. You have to take action so that you can get the results.
Yeah.
And if something isn't working, try something else.
Right.
You know, so don't, a lot of people give up too soon.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Having that plan is very important, but also working the plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Kelly, tell people how they can get a hold of you, how to find your company, that kind of stuff. social media?
Sure. You can find out about us on our website, www.gdcus.com. And our phone number, our office number is 678-292-5017. And we have several folks that would be happy to answer questions. You can send us an email. There's also info@gdcus.com for inquiries.
And you're on LinkedIn.
And we're, that's right. We're on LinkedIn on Atlanta GovCon.
Yeah, I actually, that's one of my big favorite areas I've been really working on this last year was LinkedIn and trying to get people business connected and networked in that perspective. So, ladies, we really appreciate you guys taking the time and this holiday schedule of your shopping, which I'm sure this was a little easier than the shopping, you know. We appreciate you guys taking the time to come and talk to us and to share your information and your knowledge to our wide, vast, small businesses out there.
Well, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I know, Kelly, you said you're originally from New Orleans, so...
No. I'm actually originally from Wisconsin.
Oh, now it comes.
Oh, yeah.
Wisconsin. Yeah. I wouldn't have known. Yeah. You don't have that Wisconsin.
You don't have the
Wisconsin.
When my husband and I were married, we moved to North Carolina first, Camp Lejeune, and then he was transferred to New Orleans, so I've been in the South for quite some time. I think I lost a little bit of that Wisconsinite.
Well, you know, I was born and raised in the South, and I spent the majority of my military career out in California, so when people ask me, you know, where I'm from, and I tell them, and first thing they say was, "We don't sound like it."
Yeah, you know, doesn't have that southern draw anymore.
No, don't have it anymore, hardly. Yeah. Only when I go back home, then it kind of comes out. So
definitely.
You know. Well, great. Once again, thank you both ladies, Sabrina, Kelly, for being on our show. And once again, we're brought to you by the D-Unity Group and 8A The Easy Way, your fast track to government contracting and federal and state certifications. So, join us each week as we do talk about what makes small business ownership so rewarding and how it relates to challenges of running a small business and ultimately why you choose to do so. Happy holidays to everyone, and we will talk to you next week.